Hello and thank you for joining me. My name is Caitlin from Follow the Camino and One Foot Abroad. And joining me today is Dr. Shane O'Mara, who is a neuroscientist from Trinity College Dublin. He's a professor of experimental brain research, and he is a principal investigator in and director of the Trinity College Institute of Neuroscience, which is one of Europe's leading research centers for neuroscience. So today we're going to talk a little bit about walking and health, which is quite topical at the moment. Thank you, Shane, for joining me.
I'm delighted to be here. And the reason I'm here, of course, is because I've just written a book on walking.
Absolutely, so yes.
Please go out and buy many copies for all your friends.
It's an excellent book. It is very interesting. There's so much in here about walking that I did not know. The chapter that I'm especially interested in today is a balm for body and brain, which is quite interesting in terms of the effect of walking on the body and the brain.
So let's talk about long distance consistent walking first, because we've got some reasonable data on this. So I tell the story in the first chapter of a 62-year-old male in Italy who had never undertaken long distance walking. And he undertakes the Via Alpina, which is this amazing lattice of pathways in northern Italy and eastern France and across Switzerland. And he walks about 1,200 kilometers over a period of a few weeks and had never undertaken a walk like this. And what's really remarkable about this is that this guy, never having done something like this, adapted really quickly to the rigors of a long walk. And he could adapt to it because we are built to walk for this kind of walking. And what you see in the kind of physiological adaptation that happens in somebody like this is a whole set of changes, both in brain and body. So one of the things that is really important is you get a decrease in what are known as LDLs, or low density lipoproteins. These are the bad fats that clog up your arteries that predispose you to cardiovascular disease. And you get an increase in the good fats, the HDLs, or high density lipoproteins that you find in olive oils and things like this, or fish oil, that are cardioprotective. They protect you from a heart attack. But you also see some other changes which are really quite remarkable. So you get a change in aerobic capacity. So they're able to, your breathing adapts to the amount of exercise that you're engaging in. And you also get changes in the immune system, and you get changes in other aspects of physiological functioning. So one thing that can happen people who are not active is that they can display a kind of a subchronic inflammation in their body. And this is because, in part at least, when you're not active, the cells of the immune system, the white blood cells, aren't mobile. They're not moving around the body in the way that they should be, and they're not regulating the expression of inflammation in the way that they would do. And what was found in this study, which I discuss, is that particular molecules that are involved in immune signaling, what are known as the interleukins, are regulated much more effectively in this guy who engages in lots of walking compared to sedentary controls, or compared to himself when he hadn't been walking. Inflammation isn't bad necessarily. Yeah, you know, an inflammatory response signals that something is wrong somewhere in the body. But, you know, what you don't want is a subchronic inflammatory response all over your body. That's not a good thing. What you want actually is to have a more localized response that signals to the cells of the immune system, something bad here, there's an infection, let's go fight it. And in people who are active, you're getting proper circulation throughout the body, and the immune system is able to ward off infection or attack sites of infection possibly more efficiently than it would otherwise. And then we also see remarkable changes in the cardiovascular system. So what we see in, for example, this has been studied in particular in the Samani in South America, who walk, again, of the order of 15 kilometers or more per day, day in, day out. The average Samani male of 80 years has a cardiovascular health equivalent to the average 50-year-old American. In other words, to all intents and purposes, their circulatory system is much more like that of somebody who's 30 years younger than they are. It's a really, really astonishing finding. And this again is because, as I emphasized in our previous discussion, our bodies are built for movement and respond positively to movement. And this is also true of factors in to do with other aspects of our functioning. We mentioned briefly depression in the previous discussion. So what you see in again is that people who are more active are in some senses almost protected against the onset of, or the likelihood of the onset of a major depressive episode. And the people who are more active report more peaks of happiness and more peaks in their well-being compared to people who are less active.
So there are loads of health benefits really from walking, and long distance walking, especially walking for, as you said, those longer periods each day. And that is what anyone who's on one of our walking holidays will experience. They'll be walking around about the 15, 20 kilometers per day mark. And loads of our clients, obviously not scientifically, but have reported that they did just feel that much more healthy after they spent that time outside breathing fresh air and doing so much more movement.
And completely understandably, you know, there's been an important recent discovery with regard to the actual activity of muscles. In terms of what muscle signals to the body and to the brain. So there are molecules that are specifically made in muscle called myokines. These are only produced in muscle under stress. So when the muscle is being active, when the muscle is moving, when the muscle has stress and strain repetitively imposed upon it, and these myokines look reparative and restorative in terms of their function. So they pass out of muscle, they circulate freely within the blood, and they pass into the brain, and they enhance, it appears, plasticity in a variety of brain regions. And you get the reverse effect happening as well, where being active, being moving, causes the production of a series of molecules in the brain known as trophic factors. And these support growth of blood vessels, they support of, the growth of the connections between brain cells. In other words, they promote resilience of the brain, and you have these other wonderful molecules that are promoting resilience of the body and also of the brain. So there's this wonderful crosstalk that only happens when the body is moving, but doesn't happen when the body is quiescent. So we need to move more.
And you briefly passed over brain plasticity. Now, this is something that's very interesting. Do you want to just explain what brain plasticity means?
Remarkably, a kind of a converging set of findings have shown over the last 20 or so years that lots of regular aerobic exercise promotes the production of new brain cells, something that had previously thought not to have been possible in two or three brain areas. One of them, the hippocampal formation, which is intimately concerned with memory. And one subregion of this structure, the hippocampal formation, continues to produce brain cells right throughout the course of life. However, the level at which it produces brain cells is dynamically regulated by how much activity you engage in. In other words, how much aerobic exercise you are getting. And if you're getting more, you produce more and they become functional. And if you're getting less, you produce less and they become less functional. A really, really astonishing story. And one that I think should show, and the other thing that is really important is that this is true right throughout life. It's not something that's a feature of just of the young adult brain or the young child's brain. It's something that is apparent right throughout the course of life. And this in turn means that, of course, it's never too late. Our 62-year-old, whom I mentioned a little while ago, you know, is there in the seventh decade of life undertaking what seems to be an arduous walk, and brain and body adapt to it very, very quickly.
So doing exercise can actually make us better at remembering things.
Remarkably so. And several studies have now shown that not alone does doing this kind of exercise, and it doesn't need to be very heavy duty, walking at a reasonable clip several times a week will work very, very well. actually increases the volume of the hippocampal formation. So not alone are you getting these new brain cells produced, getting these molecules produced, but you can actually see an increase in the size of the hippocampus in people who engage in regular aerobic exercise.
It really is quite amazing how much of the body is affected by walking. Although when you think about the fact that it is such an integral part of being human, it's not that amazing anymore because it really is what we were built to do.
But we've overlooked it. We've designed this environment that designs movement out. And the big challenge is to design movement back in. And I sometimes think that, you know, when you look at pilgrim walkers in particular, there's a kind of an almost primal quality to the walking, because what they're doing is not sitting. They're speaking to a desire to actually get moving in the world again. And I think this of hikers and other people. But what I'd really love to see happen is a rescuing of walking so that it's something that is integral to every part of our everyday lives, and not just something that you do for 6 weeks a year when you go on a pilgrimage, although you should do that, obviously, or hiking at the weekend. But it's something that we do, you know, Monday to Sunday, because our world allows us to do that, and it doesn't at the moment.
And it's something that we recommend to all of our clients when they are training for the Camino or for any of our walking holidays, is to start doing things like parking further away and then taking public transport and walking, or... just walking to the bus stop instead of driving to the bus stop, things like that. And even just those small amounts of extra walking and exercise each day can actually have quite big health benefits.
And this is why people need to be a little bit obsessive about measuring their walking steps, because we do not know how much we walk. Our memories are designed around features and around the passage of time. We're not so good at measuring distance. Getting people to focus on the actual amount of steps that they're doing as a preparation ahead of going on a long walk like the Camino or other pilgrimages is a really, really sensible thing to do, because you must track what you're doing. If you don't track what you're doing, you can't know what you've done.
Absolutely. So just in summary, I guess, we've talked a lot about the different types of walking, long distance walking, short distance walking, and the long and short of it is that all types of walking are good for you. They increase your brain plasticity, help you to remember things better, and they also increase your overall health.
And I suppose just, you know, the final thing to say on walking. Walking, we walk for different purposes and we walk at different rates at different times during the day. If you're walking for cardiovascular health, you need to be walking at a speed where it's difficult for you to talk freely to another person. In other words, somewhere around 5.8 or 6 kilometers an hour. Do that for 30 or 40 minutes, and that will really give you a good workout. You'll know it when you come back to your house. You'll need a shower, and that's fine.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Shane. That was very interesting, and we'll hopefully have a couple more of these chats in the future.
That would be great. I'd love to.
And just to finish, remember to go and check out Shane's book, In Praise of Walking. It is a fascinating read. There's loads in there about walking and brains, so it's definitely something that you can add to your list of pre-Camino reading. Thank you.